Hey, this is Becky with the Love and Lead podcast. In October, we are focusing on an invitation to celebrate. The last week of the month, our podcast will be on celebrating the holidays. And we want to hear from you. What are you most looking forward to about the upcoming holidays? And what do you find most challenging that you have to consider? Our hope is to look for ways to be really practical and specific on how to lighten stress so that you can really enjoy your celebrating. Visit our blog, loveandleadparenting.com, where we will have a post called Celebrating the Holidays. Leave your comments and be part of the conversation. Well, welcome back to Love and Lead, our parenting podcast. This is Becky, and last week, Jean and I had introduced our topic of family values. We gave you an invitation to consider what values are important, and maybe even the ones that are unique for your family. We explored the idea of ways to set memory markers in order to name, remember, and celebrate our values. And the reality is, inside all of us and our children is the most fascinating computer system that there is in our brain. Our brain is continually gathering and assimilating information, organizing and sorting it, and creating a story. Without even trying or being conscious of it, we write a story about who we are and the world around us, about how we fit in our world or not. And our kids' brains are doing this. So living our family values is a purposeful way that we love our kids and lead them into a more healthy, meaningful, true story about who they are and how they fit into the world they live in, what they mean to us and to God. So today I'm excited. We're going to continue our family values. We're going to have a part two. And we have our very first guest to the podcast. I am excited to introduce to you a good friend of mine, Heather Nelson. She and her husband, Jordan, are parenting two daughters. They make their home in Kansas City, Missouri. And so, Heather, I just want to say welcome to you. I'm glad you're here. If you can just take a minute and introduce yourself as well on the podcast.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I was so honored when you asked me to do this. And I loved that opening you had about our brains and telling the story and, you know, looking at where we fit and just the power you have to speak that truth into your children's lives. Oh, what a beautiful opening. So I'm not only honored to be on the podcast, I love this topic that you've asked me to talk about with you today. So yeah, as you mentioned, I'm married to Jordan. We're coming up on 13 years and we have two daughters. Hannah is 8 and Renee is 5.
Awesome. And Heather, a little backstory. Some of you will recognize her name because she actually came to the Vineyard Church here in Des Moines for a while. So she is kind of like a long-term member of our church as well.
Yes. Yeah. It's so fun now. One of the benefits that has come out of COVID is, you know, everybody's church is online. And I told Becky, I'm like, I can go to the Des Moines Vineyard whenever I want. So we do attend the Vineyard in Kansas City. So we're sister churches.
Yes. Awesome. So Heather, one of the reasons I really wanted you on here was to get that view of parenting, like somebody that's like in the game with, you said, a 5 and an 8-year-old. This idea of living out our values from someone that's in that very active age of parenting. I'm just so excited to hear your perspective. So as we start the topic today, what are a couple of family values that have been really important to you and Jordan in raising your girls?
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, values, when I think about that, I think of a mentor at work actually had said something that's just stayed with me. And she'd said, know your values because they show up whether you want them to or not. And, you know, I think especially when you're thinking about parenting, you know, your kids are little mirrors, right, of you. Mm-hmm. And I think when you think about values, I automatically go to like, what do you believe? So core values, I think, are determined by what are your core beliefs. You know, and that's like really gets back to your worldview. So I go back to my core belief in God. And I think that that is like the Jesus lens, if you will, that I view life through. And that, you know, that really tells you what you believe about life, how you're going to respond to everything. So essentially, like, to be very simple, like, I believe that we're made by a creator who knows us individually, who hates sin, and loves us enough that he sacrificed his only son in order to make a way for us to be with him. So like those beliefs, like if I take them piece by piece, like knows us individually, you know, I think it's just so important to know my husband and know my daughters as individuals. And the easiest way to do that is by spending time with them, you know, trying to be a student of them. So being a student of Jordan, being a student of the girls, knowing, you know, myself too, because I think that if you can say, okay, I'm not going to thrive in this environment, how can I set myself up for success, of whether it's a difficult conversation or, you know, you're exhausted and like this fun thing isn't going to be fun right now. I think that those can all really help that goal of knowing them as individuals. So, you know, we, Jordan and I didn't date very long before we got engaged. And so I quite frequently tell people that we got about 5 copies of the book, The 5 Love Languages, given to us.
Oh, wow.
When we were newly engaged, because we were like, are you really sure? And so, with that, I quite frequently reference that we've read the book and we took the quiz and we did all this stuff. And I think that's been really helpful to know Jordan's love languages, knowing my love languages, because that just helps getting to know him as an individual. And then I love the whole Gary Chapman series. He's got the kids book as well. And so now that Hannah is the 8-year-old, she's old enough that I can really identify her love languages, because, you know, a kid can't really take a quiz. So you have to just kind of like, it gives you the pressure test methods. So to figure those out. And then if I go, you know, back to that, who hates sin, you know, I really think of that core belief transferring into the value of integrity. Jordan and I are big Dave Ramsey people, and I love his saying, you know, he talked about people having fanatical integrity. And I just love that saying of, you know, seeking to pursue that. So, you know, doing what you say you're going to do, strive to be more like Jesus in all that we think or do, asking the Holy Spirit to help us in that endeavor, because we know we can't do it on our own. You know, really looking at him as our example, doing what he did, and loving God and loving people. I think it can be as simple as that. We make it really confusing sometimes, but going back to those first two commandments, and spending time with them. I think spending time first in the word and prayer, and with our church community, like that's like foundational to even, you know, accomplishing that goal of fanatical integrity, because I think that God's word, tells you what is truth, like what is the benchmark, right? And then it gives you something to base your life off of and what you're pursuing. So yeah, I'd stick with, I could go on and on, but I'll stop there. Sure. You know, with those hating sin and knowing people as individuals.
Yeah. And it's, even as you were talking, I could see like one thread of it is very much an inward work and going inward to look at, like you said, what's our purpose? Where did we come from? Those beliefs and, you know, the individuality of every family member. And so I see that kind of that inward work use, and then that fanatical integrity, the loving others, kind of there's also an outward expression of our values that happen as well as a family. So like, I'm practical. What does that look like in practical ways for your family to live out those values?
So, you know, I think I go back to like spending intentional time together. I briefly referenced that just a few minutes ago, but I think it's because Jordan's love language is quality time is one of them. And that is not one of mine. And so I've really, really had to work on that for the past 12 plus years. But it's such a gift, I mean, to work on that, because I mean, I don't know who said it. It's been told to me, and I found it to be true in life of, you know, if you want to know what you love and what you care about, look at your calendar and look at your budget. And I think looking at your calendar of your time, it's just like, where do I spend my time? You know, is it how much is with my family? How much is with work? How much is with friends? And so that's a real gut check there. You know, I think eating meals together, a lot of the basic, simple stuff of just trying to not reinvent the wheel. I mean, Jordan and I are incredibly fortunate situation. Both of us had really loving homes that we came from. Not perfect, but very loving. We tried. I have a lot of memories of eating together, so I know it didn't happen all the time, but, you know, striving for that. Reading books, like just doing that foundational stuff, like reading to the girls, reading kind of around Jordan. We like very different types of reading, but it is something we both like doing. So even being in the same room reading, I think can be nice. Traveling, you know, and it's not fancy travel. It's like Midwest travel, go see the family in Nebraska kind of a thing. But just carving out time to do that, you know. And you and I, you've been such a gift of a friend to me. You've prayed me through so many seasons of life. And it wasn't that long ago. Hannah's in third grade now. And I knew before she started kindergarten that life just felt very, very rushed. Jordan and I are both working full-time jobs in Kansas City. And we were both working full-time jobs in Des Moines too. And we moved down here when Hannah was a little over one. And we just had longer commutes here than we did in Des Moines. And that put a little bit of an extra crunch on life. And so then when you add baby number two into the fold, Hannah was almost four when baby number two was born, Renee. And it just felt like, oh my gosh, like the grind, the grind that just is the only thing I can say. And we really were trying, like we would sit down and have breakfast as a family at like 6:30. But when you all leave, you know, I think we're all leaving at like seven, and then we didn't get home until like six. I know that's the story for so many families, but I felt incredibly fortunate. We did, I mentioned Dave Ramsey, we did do financial peace before Jordan and I got married. And I'm so grateful that we did that, because that really set us up to make certain decisions along the way that gave us a little bit of freedom. And through a lot of prayer and just time talking to each other, we just kind of like said, if we have the opportunity to change something, we would really like to, that would give one of us more time at home. And I really had that desire to do that, to be the one to have a bit more time at home. So my company was just absolutely fantastic. And I feel like I did like maybe career suicide. I don't know. I just put everything on the table and told them. I said, hey, my oldest daughter's getting ready to start kindergarten, and what we're doing right now, it just isn't sustainable. Okay, if there's any way, I would love to keep working here, but in a different capacity. I just need more time at home for the family. And it was, yeah, it felt like potentially career suicide or just laying all my cards out there. But it, like I said, it's just a fantastic company that values just honesty and integrity. And one thing led to another. And like I said, I feel like it was such an answer to prayer, but I actually got a job where I was able to work from home at like hours of 9 to 4, which was just such a gift because, you know, to go from leaving the house at 7 to not having to leave till 9, you know, or not even leaving at all. You just start work at 9. So that was late enough that I could get Hannah on the bus. And then get her off the bus when she came home, which was such a gift for me. I mean, I think every mom, every family has different dynamics, but for me, that was really the dream. It, at the time, it wasn't to not work, but to be working when Hannah was at school was really what I desired. And we were able to do that. So now that was kindergarten, first, second, and here we are in third grade. So we're in year four of that. And it's truly been a game changer. And then, you know, COVID happened. Sure. So I tell people, I'm like, well, I worked from home prior to COVID. And then COVID brought this whole new level, like layer of flexibility. But yeah, I think just living that value, I think, you know, that family, having time together, and realizing that these years are so short and precious that you have the littles at home. And I say all that just out of complete tenderness and respect. Like, I know that is not the situation. There are a lot of families that live the grind and have no other choice. And so I felt so grateful to have had that option. And don't ever want to take that for granted. But I think, yeah, that made a world of difference for us.
Right. And I think what I love about that was, like, you offered it up in prayer. You know, it wasn't a like instant thing, but it was like, it allowed God to walk you through. Like, what's our invitation? Noticing, I don't like life like this, first. And then, you know, beginning to talk about it, being able to pray and like invite God into that. Often, I know myself, I know other people, we do this all or nothing in our heads. And I just think God often has a creative way through our wilderness, so to speak, if we notice and just ask him. And maybe that was that for you. Maybe it's something different for someone else. But to notice what is making us really unhappy, I think is important, like you said, and then looking creatively, asking God to help us to pursue those things we really do value.
Absolutely. Well, and it's just so funny because I thought at the time that that was the answer to prayer of like, oh, this is amazing, God, thank you. Like, I get to be home more and, you know, get to have these dreams of being mom, you know, the mom that I desired to be. And I actually think, like, yes, it was that, but I actually think it was God really preparing our family for a season of this just so unprecedented, unforeseen health crisis. And that could be a whole other podcast in and of itself, but in a very, very, very short story. I mean, you know, the whole thing is you've been just this incredible friend praying for me through it. But I do think pieces of it are relevant in this podcast of, you know, parenting and living your values. But long story short, we were on a bit of a mystery health crisis going from doctor to doctor. I say my husband and myself, I started having just weird kind of clustered symptoms, after Hannah was born, about the time we moved down here. So I'd say about 7 years ago. And, it really kind of came to a head, in the fall of 2019. And like I said, multiple doctor visits and just an array of symptoms. But I was diagnosed with something called mast cell activation syndrome. And one of the symptoms was insomnia, and it was just extremely difficult. And I had a lot of GI distress as well. And so in searching for, you know, answers of what was going on, and just the way my body was responding, I ended up with an extremely narrowed down diet and ended up losing a lot of weight. And it was just a really difficult time of honestly just scary and not knowing what was going on. And, you know, you talk about living values. My youngest, Vernay, I doesn't really know much other than mommy had tummy problems and we ask God to heal mommy all the time. And I say this from a place where I'm doing dramatically better. And I feel like God has just answered so many prayers in those ways that I never could have foreseen, you know, creative way. I like how you put that creative way through wilderness. But Hannah really seeing those values of Jesus and prayer and small group, like family, just honesty. And, you know, I think being as honest as you can in a age appropriate way. I mean, it was difficult because Jordan and I didn't really even know how to articulate it. I mean, it wasn't like a cancer diagnosis where we say, okay, like we know what we're fighting. We know we're going to have, you know, this window of chemo or radiation or surgery. Like it was nothing like that. Like it was just such a unique path to go down. But I think, you know, we've talked about with Hannah, she's in Awana, so we do a lot of verse memorization and reading the Bible stories. And we, oh gosh, a month or two ago, we're talking about building your house on the rock. And when the storms come, your house will still be there. It won't wash away like if it's built on the sand. And she actually correlated with that story. She said, well, yeah, like your tummy problems, like you survived that. Like you're still standing, you're the house and you're still standing because you built your house on the rock. Like you built your house on Jesus. And I just like, honestly had a tear in my eye when she said that because it was so real and so raw. And like we said, you know, I think that mama bear instinct is to protect your children. But when you are on, I mean, multiple years, like mystery and your kid knows you're going to doctor visits and your kid sees you eating something different or, you know, there's only so much you can hide. But that really like, oh gosh, it just like, wow, God, like, because one of my fears through that whole health saga and crisis was protecting my kids. And to think that like, this is one way you've really turned this for good is that they have seen you and not in an instant way, right? Like like we prayed and you were better. And
right.
But that he's just prayed through process or healed through process and prayer. And he is so faithful. I mean, even if I wasn't doing better right now, none of those things would change. He is faithful and he is here and he's working. But gosh, when we talk about values, I think
this is, well, boy,
has to be said. Yeah.
Well, and it's like you're giving one of your values is giving your kids, letting them have a faith story, right? And God at work. If, boy, when you said that, you know, we do. And it is part of our job. We protect our kids. But if they never see the reality of what we're praying for or situations of need, right? What God stories are they going to grow up with? And how are they going to see, like Hannah did, that Jesus is the foundation through this storm? That's really amazing. And really, the other thing I noticed in your story, Heather, is like we started out talking about how we hold our values, but it sounds like your values held you when the storm of life came.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the saying too. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who's holding tomorrow. And, you know, I think being held. I love that Natalie Grant song Held, but just being held, you know, it's, yeah, we think we do so much, but I mean, it's all Jesus. It's all God. And just what a gift. I can absolutely attest to being held through that journey. Yeah.
Well, and like you said, you know, you had your small group, you had your different values, you had those people in your life that ended up being really able to hold you then in a way that you needed to be held in those years, particularly in prayer and support.
Yeah. Gosh. And you know, you talk about what your kids see. I mean, they saw like you and other friends in small group, like lay hands on me and pray, do the stuff. They saw people bring meals over. I mean, they see so much. And so I love that. It goes back to that, you know your values because they do show up. And that whole like do as I say, not as I do, like it just, it doesn't hold because they see it.
They pick up on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are more serious things, you know, when you look at like ways to live out your values. But I think when you get to pick the intentional things, like now we're in this season of, gosh, how can we volunteer as a family? Like, how can we serve as a family? Because the whole health crisis kind of like happened to us, it felt like, but it's like, okay, when we get to step back and be intentional, I just love finding ways you can serve. So through that whole health saga, like I came across Johnny Erickson Tata's work. And just like I said, I didn't really relate to like a cancer type story, even though my situation felt extremely life-threatening and serious. But I did feel very connected to like a disability type story of like, wow, like I feel so handicapped in so many ways. Like when I can't go out to eat or I can't sleep or I can't, you know, do all these different things. And I just loved her work. She's written so many books, and I actually found out that she has these family camps and you can go as a family and serve other families that have some sort of special need, you know, like anything from PTSD to special needs children. And so we're looking seriously into that of like, could we go there for a week in the summer? And like, that could be our vacation where we're going to serve, you know? Also, like I'm a big Young Life supporter, and looking at that's like a family ministry. You could do that as a family, you know, and I think your kids see that. Our church is just so wonderful down here, and it offers a ton of family serving opportunities from like, you know, hey, in the fall or in the end of the summer, we're going to pack backpacks like for, you know, going back to school and bring the whole family out. So yeah, I think those are all fun, intentional things you can do too, of ways of living out your faith and your values.
Sure. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. I'm going to get real practical right now because I feel like we live in a world of many competing you know, opportunities for kids, be it extracurricular, be it church, be it family, you know, activities. Like, as a family, you know, how do you navigate, how have you and Jordan been navigating that with your girls and your choices?
That's such a good and hard question. You know, coming out of COVID, we were like, I think most families when COVID started, we said, like, it was just crazy because everything just stopped overnight. But we said, yeah, we want to be really careful with like what we do get involved in. And I love the things that we're doing, but honestly, Becky, it's hard. It's just so easy to be, you know, doing too much. And like I said, we do Awana, and, you know, Hannah wants to do a sport, and Renee wants to do, now that she's five, wants to dance. And so I do feel very fortunate with my job. We can do a handful of things that end before like 5 or 5:30 and don't encroach on that evening time. But it is, it's just hard. I think the answer honestly is just continually assessing of like, how are we doing in this season of our life? Like, does this feel like it's working? Have we sat down and had a family dinner? Like, that's a value of ours,
right?
Or is that continually getting sacrificed? You know, I think that's just so important. Like I said, look at your calendar and at your wallet. Like, and if you're just go all the time. I mean, today, actually, Jordan took the day off and spent it with Renee to just do a daddy-daughter thing because, well, he had to take her to the doctor for an arm. She broke her arm 6 months ago. And it was a follow-up.
Checkup.
And yeah, checkup. So he's like, she had a little shortchanged in that way. But the place she had to go was like 30 minutes away. And so he's like, you know, I'm just going to take the day off. And they went and did like a children's farm thing. And he said she could just tell she felt really special. And so I think sometimes even using your vacation days when you need to, you know, to like spend with each other as a date day or with your kids. So finding ways to squeeze it in where you can.
Oh, I love that. I love that last story. Well, Heather, we are up on our time. I've totally enjoyed this, and just bless you and your family in this season to continue to, live out your values and be an encouragement to others as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was such a joy. I would love to do this again anytime.
All right. Sounds good. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.